All right, well, you might be able to guess what I'm going to talk about today. I think it's going to have something to do with the resurrection and Jesus and something from the Bible. And we're going to start out in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 45. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here and sort of get into the story a little bit and then take it from there. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people that had been dead were raised to life. They came out of their tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified. And they exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. And going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. But he is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said, and they came to him and they clasped his feet and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Those are the very, very basic details of what happened that day, the details about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We call it the Easter story. It's important for us to understand as much as we can about this thing that we call Easter, because Easter symbolizes the true essence, the central focus, the heart of our Christian faith. It has everything to do with our life, our faith, our hope, and most importantly, our eternal destiny. The Apostle Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." First importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul understood that there was nothing more important for us as believers. That was of first importance. You got a list of all the important things in life, in your whole life. That should be number one about our Savior. That's the reason that there are over 2 billion people, over 2 billion that will be celebrating Easter. The resurrection is the final indisputable proof that everything that Jesus said, that all of His claims were true, and that they are a solid foundation. They build a solid foundation for our faith, unmatched by any other belief, philosophy, religion. The resurrection of Jesus is the yes and the amen to every promise that Jesus has made, that God has made to us. Without the resurrection, we would really have nothing except death. We would only live to die, and that would be the end. The Apostle Paul tells us about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First, in verse 14, it says, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." And then a couple verses later, in verse 17, 1 Corinthians 15:17, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." No forgiveness, no salvation, no heaven, no eternity. 1 Corinthians 15:19. "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." And then there's this little word that comes up. We hear it all the time. "You know, you really did a good job." What is it? "But. I really like the way you look today, but I think you're a great guy, but." There's always a but, it seems like. Well, here there is too. After Paul just got done telling us about how without the resurrection, our faith would be useless, then he comes back with this little word that has such a massive switch over. As he goes, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Romans 1:4 tells us that Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God. How? By the resurrection from the dead. This was the Father's declaration. This was the Holy Spirit's declaration. This was the declaration of Jesus that I am the true Messiah. I am the King. I have spoken truth to you. Eternity is for you because I have come back from the dead to prove it to you. This is the great truth of Christianity As I said before, that is the final, absolute truth. It leaves every other religion in the dust. Because this story didn't end at the tomb with the death of Jesus. Death, as we sing in a song, could not hold him. Death couldn't get its grip around him and hold him down. It couldn't stop him. Death had no power over Jesus. In fact, it was at that point in the tomb, on that first, what we call Easter Sunday morning, that Jesus defeated death. He destroyed the power of death. He overcame death. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, "Where, O death, is your victory?" It's gone. It's done. It's finished. "Where, O death, is your sting?" It doesn't have to hurt anymore. Jesus became the first of many. The first of those who would be resurrected to eternal life. He led the way. He paved the path. He's the one who opened the door and made it possible for us to follow him into eternity. Death no longer has to be our enemy. Death is no longer our enemy. The death that we have now is not an enemy. It's not something to be feared. For those who are in Christ and who have given their life to Jesus, death is nothing more than a pathway, an entranceway, a doorway into our great reward. Death is, it's very strange because we don't want to leave this world. And yet, in Christ, in our spirit, we long to leave this world. It's like when you're going on a big vacation you planned for years, and you know there's just so much stuff here. This has got to be taken care of, that's got to be taken care of, and you know, on one hand, you're sort of afraid to leave because you want to make sure all this is still going out all right, but you can't wait to get out on that vacation. Death is not something to be afraid of. That was proven that day. Death is the entrance into our eternal life, our eternal joy, our eternal blessing in heaven, the place where there will be no more tears. Only joy beyond belief. Pleasure at his right hand forevermore. Glory upon glory. Something that we could never even imagine is awaiting us. No matter what you think you would enjoy, God's got something that's 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times better waiting for you. We don't need to be afraid of that. We don't need to be afraid of that. And everything that we got coming for us all began because of that Resurrection Sunday. That was the day the course of human history changed forever. History was literally ripped in two, just like that veil in the temple, top to bottom. Before Christ, death ruled the world. It was something to be feared. Forgiveness, now forgiveness and eternal life are victorious. At least for those in Christ. Before Christ, we were without hope. We would have been without hope. Now with Christ, we have a hope that will not disappoint. Before Christ, we were in the darkness. We lived in darkness. There was a veil over our eyes. We were blinded in many ways. Now we have the light of Christ and we see things in a whole different way. Before Christ, we were cut off from God. We were an enemy of God. We talked about that last week, where there was no peace. But now we are united once again with God, and we can be at peace with Him. Now we can enter his presence and have a personal relationship with him. Every area of our life that was dead or dying, God wants to restore. He wants to rejuvenate it. He wants to resurrect it because God, and I've said this before many times, is in the resurrection business. He really is. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us that God, in his great mercy, has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God wants to give every one of us new life, new hope, now, here, now, on this earth, in this life. He wants to use that same resurrection power to change, to work in the things, work within us, to make those things that he put in us come to life. God had a plan for your life. He made you to be amazing, amazing individual. And sometimes our sin, our fears, our doubts, those things have buried those things inside of us. And God says, I want to resurrect them. I want them to come to life. I want to get rid of the fear and the anger and the discouragement and the bitterness and the unforgiveness and the unbelief and everything that's holding you back. I want to defeat that just because it's just like death. Just like he destroyed death on the cross, he wants to destroy the death. It still tries to get hold of us. That kills the good things that God wants to see growing in us. God's still a God of miracles. When he changed your heart, that was a great miracle. But it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop there. It just keeps going. It keeps growing. God wants to, you know, bring wonderful, amazing, beautiful things out of your life. Sometimes we think some of the things we're dealing with are hopeless. God can't fix that. I've prayed before. That's not true. I can't think of a more hopeless-looking situation than when Jesus was hung on the cross. Here he is, the long-awaited Messiah. The Bible, the scrolls of the Old Testament, the Word of God that they studied prophesied him coming. He performed all kinds of miracles. Everybody put their faith in him, their belief in him. And then yet here he was, hanging on the cross. The Savior of the world, the Son of God, arrested, beaten, humiliated, led to death as a lamb being led to slaughter. Hanging on the cross between two criminals, naked, humiliated, exposed to the world. He cries out, "It's finished," and hangs his head and dies. How would that look to the people that put their hope in him? How do you think they felt? They felt awful. They were scared to death. They didn't have that kind of faith yet. The Holy Spirit hadn't been released yet. They couldn't grab hold of that. Some had an inkling, but most of them were afraid. Look how Peter, he was scared to death to admit he was a disciple. They ran away, they hid, they locked their doors. They tried to disappear, blend in. To all the world and to all the demonic forces that were celebrating, it looked as though Jesus had been beaten. That when he said it was finished, it meant like his life was finished, the cause was finished. His life was hopeless, wasted. His valiant attempt to save the world was finished. But now, there's that but again, but now, looking back, we know that it wasn't Jesus that was finished. What he meant was that the job that he came here to accomplish, dying on the cross for our sin, was finished. And now we can see that Jesus just pulled off the biggest sting operation in all history. He got all of his enemies and even the devil himself to help him pull it off. And if that wasn't enough, he even got the devil to pull the plug on his own evil plans. The devil himself ensured his own downfall and his own destruction by what he did. It didn't matter that Jesus was locked in a tomb that was guarded by Roman soldiers. The whole Roman army couldn't have stopped him. Because God is in the resurrection business. God can bring to life what is dead. That is true resurrection power. You remember when Martha's brother, Lazarus, died? He was a friend of Jesus. Jesus felt the pain. He cried. He felt the sorrow. He felt for them. But then he told Martha in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And then Jesus called to Lazarus in the grave. And guess what? Lazarus came out. See, Jesus had power over life and death. The Apostle Paul was a powerful Roman citizen, a soldier, a leader. He gave it all up after he had an encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus. And after that, all he wanted was, according to Philippians 3:10, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. We will never know the real power of life apart from knowing Christ. Every one of us has this immense capability to powerfully overcome, to powerfully move in life when Christ is in us, because it's his power at work in us. God wants us to experience this resurrection power in our life. The same Holy Spirit-filled resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is, guess what? It's for each one of us. Just like Jesus asked Martha, he's asking us right now, do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you will believe, you will see the glory of God. That's the words of Jesus. We have to question ourselves sometimes, do we believe in this resurrection power? Do we believe in the power of God, the power of the Spirit moving amongst us and in us? He wants us to look, God wants us to look at every area of our life that we need help in. Especially those areas that we have maybe given up on, that we thought were hopeless. I've prayed with people many times, and sometimes to my own eyes or my own ears, when I'm talking with somebody, I'm thinking to myself, man, I can't see how to fix this. In the natural, I don't see how to pull this off. How can they do this? And there's only one thing to do. Turn it over to God. To pray for God. And I have seen it time after time after time. Miraculous things happen that nobody ever would have expected. We just have to trust in God even for the impossible. Even for the situations that are hopeless, because God can resurrect what was dead and what was hopeless and bring it to life. God wants to bring back those areas in your life that are dead or dying. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a relationship with your children or your parents. God can bring that back to life. Maybe it's your relationship with God Himself. Maybe it's your prayer life. God can bring life to that. Maybe it's your worship or your witness. Maybe it's your love for the body of Christ. Maybe it's your joy that God wants you to be filled with, or your peace that you just haven't been able to get hold of. Every good thing that comes down from heaven is from God. Every good thing that He has given us is still there, even if it's only a seed, even if it's only if it's been buried over. Even if we think we can't resurrect it, God can. This is what God does. This is what He wants for you. He wants to see the grave clothes come off. He wants to see the stone rolled away. He wants us to be freed from every hindrance in our life. So Jesus can be brought to life inside of us. So that we can grow and change from glory to glory and become more like Him. So we can truly live our life for Him. When Jesus was raised from the dead, that was only the beginning. That was the beginning. He was called the first fruit. When you say something like that, that He was the first, that implies that there will be more to come later. And the Scriptures talk exactly about that. The first of those who would begin to walk in this new life. He was the first that had this experienced this resurrection. We saw His new, we didn't see it, but His new body was seen. Something was different. Something was beautiful about it. At first, nobody ever recognized Him until He began to speak, or until He opened their eyes, and then they could tell. Because this beautiful, perfected, resurrected body was now here on earth. All this is coming for us. But it's also for now. It's for now. He wants to resurrect things for you now. It's our turn. It's our turn now to walk in this resurrection power. If we want it. If we choose it. We have to choose it. We have to ask ourselves, do I believe? Do I believe in the resurrection? Do I believe that Jesus came back from the dead? Well, if we can believe that Jesus came back from the dead, that God is all-powerful, don't you think God can work something inside of us? Do you think God is so weak that He can't change our habits, our emotions, that He can't change our husband or our wife or our children or our work situation or our health or our whatever? We can bury our head in the sand and we can deny God's resurrection power. We can stay in the tomb and be buried in our sin, hopeless and without God. Or we can choose to walk in that resurrection power. We can choose to believe. We can choose to allow Christ to live in us, the Holy Spirit to live and breathe and move in us, to lead us, filling us with new life. And new hope, so that we will walk on the path, run the race, the course that's been marked out for us, the course of blessing, the course of victory, the course of success, of power, of hope, of joy, that God had already marked out for us. We wander off on little rabbit trails, and then we wonder, why isn't it the good life, like I've been told? Is it even really true? Yes, it's true. We just have to find our way back, get on track, to believe that God can make things happen in our life. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect, that there's not going to be troubles. Of course there's going to be troubles. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we will know that God is with us. That God will give us that strength. That God will give us the joy in the midst of our trials. Peace that is beyond understanding. Wisdom that comes from God alone, that comes from heaven. To be able to deal with these things. That He will be there when we're tired and worn out and weary. And He says, come to Me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't take away our problems. He just gives us everything that we need to deal with them. To have victory over them. Because that's the power of the resurrection. that God has put in our life. God can work a miracle in you, just like the miracle that happened over 2,000 years ago, if you believe it. If you are willing, God is able. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are such an amazing God, Lord. That you have something special for each one of us. Lord, I know you're not finished with us yet. You're not finished with us individually, as a family, as a church. You're not finished with our cities. You're not finished with our country. You're not finished on this world yet, Lord. You got many great things in store for us, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord God, to begin to see the glory that awaits us as we walk according to your will, as we are led by your Spirit, as we believe in you. Lord, fill us with your power, that resurrection power. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Prayer team, come on up. And if you need prayer, please come forward. You're struggling with something. Come on up and get some prayer.
The heaven.